Look at Galatians 5:16, because this is a key verse in the book. Galatians 5:16 is a very key verse. And the whole book, Paul's been talking about how that we're not to live by rules, we're not to live under the law, we're not to live under a yoke of bondage, that we're to live by faith. Well, the objection is, well, wait a minute, Paul, if you teach people they're free from the law, if you teach people that they're free from external religious requirements, then Paul, they're going to become lawless. They're going to live wicked and sinful. Paul's answer to that is, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Say that with me. Walk in the Spirit. And then read the rest of it with me. "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." What has God given us that's better than the law? According to that verse, what's He given us? He's given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us His very Spirit to indwell us. And when we walk in the Spirit, we walk by faith in Christ. And by the way, walking in the Spirit is not spooky. It's not mystical. It's not this, you know, weird thing, and you get your hair stands up on end, and your hair sticks straight up, and you know, and you get warm and fuzzy feelings all over you. That, listen, folks, walking in the Spirit is so practical. It is so daily. It's so hour by hour, minute by minute. It's just a practical thing. It is walking in the Spirit just means that you're not walking in your own power. You understand and realize your need of Christ. You understand your need that the Holy Spirit is your source of life. The Holy Spirit is your source of strength. It's nothing spooky. When you're walking in the Spirit, Christ is living His divine life through you. It's that simple. Christ is living through you. You say, well, how do I do that? Just yield. Just depend on Him. Trust Him. Seek Him. Just depend on Him. Trust Him. When you're driving home from work, you know, it's an acknowledgement. Lord, now when I get home, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to depend on You. I want Your Spirit to flow through me. And Jesus, I just want You to live through me to be the husband, the father I need to be when I get home from work. It's just that kind of thing. Same thing when you go to work. Same thing when you've got a meeting coming up with somebody. All through the day, you're just acknowledging your need of Christ. That's walking in the Spirit. The Galatians were trying so hard to live up to the law, but they couldn't. And so Paul's answer was not, you know what, I just think you need more rules. I think you need stricter rules. I think you need to try a little harder. You need to pray a little harder. No, his answer was, you know, quit your fleshly work, quit your obsession with all your rules and laws, and just simply walk in the Spirit, walk by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the idea here. In verse 18, he says, "But if you be led of the Spirit," okay? If I'm walking in the Spirit, then I'm not under the what? I'm not under the law. I don't need the law. Now, you look at verse 19, and he's going to actually describe for us what the works of the flesh look like when they show up. When the works of the flesh show up in your home, in your marriage, in your life, this is what it looks like. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? And we talked about these extensively last week. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That verse right there would cut out a lot of internet usage. It's kind of quiet in here. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. These are all sins of the heart, sins of bitterness and strife and anger and just bitterness. Verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So this isn't an exhaustive list. This is just a sampling. He says, "and such like." And then look at the rest of the verse. "Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, the point here is this, church. Nothing good can come from the works of the flesh. The works that are listed in these verses, okay, unfortunately, they regularly surface and they dominate lives and families. I'm talking about Christian lives, Christian homes, Christian families. These works of the flesh that we just read, they surface in homes, they surface in lives, and they rear their ugly head through individuals. For the Christian, though, it does not have to be this way. And we're going to see that there's something much better God has for us, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? It's, we've got something so much better that's part of our inheritance, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to look at that. But to get you to understand that inheritance, I want you to notice here that Paul taught, he said, you know what? I taught you this before, that they which do these things, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what does Paul mean by that? Well, what is God's kingdom? God's kingdom speaks of God's rule, God's authority, His power. Look at the screen, and I'll bring up 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all what? Rule, all authority, and all power. So what is God's kingdom speak of? It speaks of His authority. It speaks of God's rule. It speaks of God's power. We covered some of these things in 1 Corinthians. Where does God rule and reign today? You got it. Woo! Glory! I like that. Happy Valentine's. That's a good Valentine's present to me. So many of you just, boom, boy, you just came right back. Yeah, where's the kingdom of God today? Well, in your handout it says, Paul taught that God's kingdom is manifested in believers' hearts today. Let me bring up a verse, Romans 14:17 on the screen, for time's sake. Look at this. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not a physical thing right now. He says, but what's the kingdom of God today? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the what? Holy Ghost. But where's the Holy Ghost today? Where's the Holy Ghost live today?
In us.
So how is God's kingdom manifested today? Well, God's kingdom is not a physical rule on the earth. Now, that's going to come one day. Christ will return and set up a physical kingdom. But today, that's not what God's authority and kingdom is all about. It's not about a physical rule on the earth. So what's God's kingdom today? How is His rule evidenced today? In your handout, it says God's kingdom is not a physical rule, but a spiritual rule in the believer's heart. God's kingdom, look up at the screen, let's go back to that verse, Romans 14:17. And it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But now look, when it says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, do you know what that would be? That would be the fruit. See? That's the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in the believer. God's kingdom today is a spiritual manifestation of His Holy Spirit power working in the believer's life. That's what it is today. So what's Paul saying? Going back to Galatians 5:21, what is Paul saying? Okay, look at it again. Galatians 5:21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That word inherit just means to obtain. When you do these things, you're not going to be able to obtain that rule, that authority of God. So what's he saying? Did Paul say in that verse that if you do these things, you can't go to heaven? If you do anything on this list, boy, you can't go to heaven, and you're going to lose your salvation. Is that what he said? It's not what he said. Okay? He said that we're not going to be able to inherit, to obtain that kingdom. We're not going to be able to manifest that kingdom of God when we're manifesting the works of the flesh. It's impossible. The two can't be at the same time. So, in your handout, I want you to get this statement. To inherit the kingdom of God is to possess God's Spirit and be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. When I am obtaining and I'm manifesting that kingdom, what am I doing? That fruit of the Spirit in me is abounding in and through me. And that's why he said that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the manifestation of that kingdom. In your handout, it says we cannot obtain the kingdom of God, the rule of God in our lives, when we're walking after the flesh. That's the point Paul's making. And that's why he starts verse 22 with, look at it with me, Galatians 5:22. Give you a second to write and get there. Look at Galatians 5:22. So he just got done saying, you know what? When you're doing these works of the flesh, you're not going to be able to obtain, to inherit, and to show forth that kingdom. Okay? That authority, that rule of God in your life. But, now I like the way he starts verse 22. So what he's doing here is he's saying, look, all that stuff up there that I just talked about, that's not what God's doing in your heart. when there is hateful, spiteful, mean, bitterness in your heart, sexual thoughts, sexual sin in your heart, when there's hatred and when there's drunkenness and this kind of thing, when these things are in your life, that's not what God's doing in your heart. This is what God's doing. Verse 22. That's why he starts with but. But, okay, now let me show you what God's doing. Now, I just showed you the works of the flesh, but now let me show you what God's doing. Let me show you what God's kingdom is all about. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, okay, now it says in your handout, we demonstrate God's kingdom and God's rule over our heart when we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Now let me stop right there a minute before I read this fruit. Your flesh, okay, it produces works. Okay, look up at verse 19. Everybody looking? Let's study. Let's apply. Let's study the Word. What does it say in verse 19? Now the what of the flesh? So what comes out of my flesh, it's called works. But now wait a minute. Look at verse 22. But the what of the Spirit? Did y'all see the difference? He did not say the fruit of the flesh. And he didn't say the works of the Spirit. He called it the works of the flesh because that's all about me. That's all about me. Man, that's all about what I can produce, what I can do. And we see the results of it in verses 19, 20, and 21. You see, the fruit of the Spirit, that's all about God. That's all about what God does in and through me. The works of the flesh are kind of reminds me of, you know, when Cain, when remember back in Genesis, and he brought the works, you know, of all the of his crops, you know, to God, but Abel didn't. You know, that's kind of the idea here, is that the works of the flesh, man, that's what I can work up, that's what I can do. And we see the sad result of that. And the sad part is, as I told you before, many Christians in your home, your marriage, your relationships, your friendships, you're living in verse 17. Galatians 5:17. The flesh is lusting against the Spirit against the flesh, and you got all these things that you want to try to do spiritually, this list, but you can't do them because it's all about you. And so many Christians are in verse 17 instead of verse 16 and 18. You know, you look at verse 17 and look at how it's sandwiched. Verse 16, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill lust of the flesh. Verse 18, you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. But so many Christians are back here in verse 17, and we're trying so hard, and the more we try, the worse things get. You ever heard of that? I hear that all the time. Pastor, the more I try, the worse it gets. Have you ever experienced that? Amen. The more I try, the worse it gets. That's right. The works of the flesh, that's you trying. That's what you're trying to work up, what you're trying to do. Now, what about the fruit of the Spirit? Well, in your handout it says the nine graces that are listed here, they're not something that the believer can work up. It's not something you can work up. It's not called the works of the Spirit. It's not something that you can work up and manufacture on your own. It says in your handout, they're a natural expression of God's Spirit filling a yielded believer. The best, and we'll read them here. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what God is wanting to do in you. That's part of your inheritance in Christ right there. That's what God wants to do in your life, in your home. That fruit right there I just read should characterize our homes. It should characterize our lives. It should characterize our relationships. It really should. Because, listen, these nine things I just read, you can't work those up. Now listen, you can't psych yourself up to do these things. You can't manufacture these things. You just can't do it. It's like the branch, you've heard me use this before. It's like, imagine the branch of an orange tree here in Florida. And the branch of that orange tree, it doesn't work and toil to produce fruit. What does it do? It just abides in the tree. And it draws life and nourishment and energy and vitality from the tree. And so as it soaks in the sunshine and the rain and the tree, and then it delivers all that those nutrients to the branch, what does the branch do? Well, it just abides in the tree. And then the fruit that appears on the branch, that's just a natural expression of its connection and its attachment and its abiding in the tree. As we abide in Christ, okay, we depend on Him, then we soak in the sunshine of His presence in prayer. As we just simply allow the water of His Word, which you're doing tonight, hopefully, as you allow the water of His Word to soak into your heart, then the fruit comes out. This fruit in verses 22 and 23, it comes out naturally. Listen, folks, the fruit of the Spirit comes out naturally. It's not the result of straining. It's not the result of toil. It's not the result of self-effort. It's not the result of self-mutilation. It's not the result of self-examination. The fruit of the Spirit comes out naturally as you abide in the tree, as you abide in Christ. You depend on Him. Abide just means you depend on Him. You trust Him. When you're walking in the Spirit and you're yielded to the Spirit, then this is the fruit you enjoy. This is what you get. Amen? Amen? This is what you get. This is, I hate to use the word, this is the payoff. I hate to use that kind of terminology, but this is what you receive. This is the fruit you can expect when you're abiding in Christ and you're depending on Him and you're trusting Him. This is the fruit that you enjoy. These nine graces, look at them again. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is, here they are. In fact, let's say them together. Ready? Love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, listen, those nine graces are evidence. When you begin to show forth those nine graces, that is an evidence that God's kingdom is ruling your heart. It's part of that kingdom inheritance that's yours because God's Spirit lives within you. Did you hear that? It's part of that kingdom inheritance that's yours because God's Spirit lives in you. Don't get the idea these nine graces are for this elite group over here. Oh, they're for this group over here that's real spiritual. They're not for me. No. These are your inheritance because you're in Christ. And God's Spirit lives in you. This is what you receive when you simply walk by faith in Jesus Christ. You let His Spirit live through you. Now, quickly, let me give you this. I want us to get, before we actually get into each one, I want you to have a good understanding of what the fruit of the Spirit is. Because I believe there's probably a lot of misunderstandings out here about the fruit of the Spirit. So I want you to understand what the fruit of the Spirit is, and I want you to understand what it's not. So look in your handout, and I'll give you the first thing. Notice that this list is called the fruit of the Spirit, not what? It didn't say fruits. Some people talk about, the fruits of the Spirit, and I don't want to nitpick, okay? But it is singular, and I think there is a reason, okay? And I'm not trying to nitpick, and I'm not trying to play semantic word games. But there is a reason why it says, if you look at verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is. There is a reason for that, why it's singular and not plural. Okay? It's for this reason. You are not to view these nine things as separate, unrelated fruits. It's not the idea that the Holy Spirit may bear the fruit of love in Larry, but He may choose to bear the fruit of peace in me. And He may choose to bear the fruit of goodness in Norm, but He may choose to bear the fruit of long-suffering in Kathy. No. That's not the idea, and that's why He didn't say fruits. These things are not to be viewed as separate items on the shelf. They're to be viewed as a whole. They're to be viewed as a whole. Okay? and not as separate little pieces. And that's why he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So listen, church, rather than viewing these as nine separate fruits, we need to view them as a whole. And in your handout, it says they're all tied together. And they can all be manifested at the same time as we yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Christ to live through us. You don't have to pick and choose. You don't have to say, well, I think that the Holy Spirit is going to bear the fruit of peace in me, but I just don't think He can bear the fruit of love in me. Man, I got too much baggage from my past, and I can't have the fruit of love, but I guess that's just not the fruit that He's giving me. No, my friend, don't view it that way. Don't look at it that way. These are not separate, distinct fruits. He said these nine constitute the fruit of the Spirit. You can manifest all of them at the same time. Amen? Now, look at the next thing in your handout. This is important. These are not to be confused with the gifts of the Spirit. Well, this is a good one. Romans 12, 5 through 8 talk about gifts that the Holy Spirit gives the body of Christ. And He gives one person maybe a teaching gift. He gives this person over here maybe a gift of ruling, you know, like a leadership gift. These are not like the gifts in Romans chapter 12. They are not called the gifts of the Spirit. In other words, a Christian, hey, hear me now, a Christian cannot have the attitude, well, I just don't have the gift of gentleness. I guess my gift is faith. And that's why I'm so mean and hard to get along with. I'm just mean and ornery and obnoxious and rude. And I'm just a pain to get along with. Because I guess God just didn't give me the gift of gentleness. He gave me the gift of faith. No. Are they called gifts? Are they called gifts? No is the answer. What are they called? Look at verse 22. It's called the what of the Spirit?
Fruit.
Don't confuse them with the gifts of the Spirit. This entire list can and should be manifested in a Christian's life as they walk in the Spirit and they're led of the Spirit. These are not gifts, but rather fruit that comes forth from a Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled believer. I don't care if, you know, maybe you're the type of person that gentleness doesn't come natural for you. That's okay. It's not that, okay, that's not for you. No, that is fruit of the Spirit. When you're yielded and the Holy Spirit is living through you, that is something that you should be manifesting in your life. You should be growing in that. You should be growing in these things. So, just want you to get that. Now, look at the next thing. These are not Christian habits or disciplines. There's a lot of talk today in Christian circles about spiritual disciplines. All kinds of books being written and money being made on that idea. Okay? About spiritual disciplines. We need to have spiritual disciplines in our life. And there's all kinds of books about the spiritual disciplines or the Christian disciplines, you know, and all these things. That's all a bunch of man-made philosophy, and it's man's attempt to try to produce in his flesh what only the Holy Spirit can bear through the yielded believer. Okay? Then just understand that. You, in your handout, it says you cannot discipline yourself to love. Now get that out of your mind. Get it out of your mind. You cannot discipline yourself to love. You cannot discipline yourself to be patient. You cannot discipline yourself to be at peace. The Colossian church, like the Galatians, were really into spiritual disciplines. I mean, they were into it. Just like the Christians today. Just like so many books being written and Christians getting into this. The Colossians were this way. They were into spiritual disciplines. And in your handout it says, but Paul rebuked them. Keep your bookmarker here, and I think it's worth looking at. Look at Colossians chapter 2. And just flip over to your right a few books. And keep your bookmarker here. We're going to come right back and start examining this fruit. But look at Colossians chapter 2. And it says there in verse 20. Verse 20. Colossians 2:20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to ordinances, to laws, rules? And then he lists this, touch not. They had all kinds of rules on what they couldn't touch. All these disciplines of what they couldn't touch, what they couldn't taste not, what you couldn't handle, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, self-will. Okay? In other words, I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to have self-determination. I'm going to have this self-will determination. He says they have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but he says not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. He said they're not going to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. And then he goes on in chapter 3 and he explains to them that if you're risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. Quit getting your eyes on all these self-disciplines and just put your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes on Christ. Amen, church? Amen. Just get your eyes on Jesus and quit becoming obsessed with all these ordinances and rules and laws and disciplines that you think you're going to put into your life. Listen, a habit is something that you can establish apart from God's Holy Spirit. Okay? In other words, like, I hope many of you established a habit of brushing your teeth. I hope you've done that. That's something that you can do apart from God's Holy Spirit. See? And many of you, I hope you did that before you were saved. And the fruit of the Spirit, though, now here's what I want you to see. Go back to Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit here, this is something that cannot come from self-effort, can't come from discipline. It can't come from you just trying to, I'm going to have a habit, you know, of this. No, it only comes from God's Spirit. Establishing godly habits and disciplines in your own fleshly willpower is simply self-improvement. But it's not true spiritual growth. In other words, you can set up, for instance, a self-discipline that I'm going to read a verse of the Bible every day. Okay? You can set up that rule. You can set up that self-discipline. I'm going to read a verse of the Bible every day. That's a self-discipline. That's a habit. I'm going to do that. And you know, here's the problem with that, though, is that if your reading of God's Word, if it's not really truly a reflection of your desire for Christ, your desire to grow in Christ, if it's not out of love for Christ, and it's then, what are you going to get out of it? Maybe puffed up a little because you did it. I did it. Yeah, but is it self-improvement? Is it self-exaltation? See, it's hard for us sometimes to understand this, but the motivation in your life should be love. You should want to read the Bible because you love Christ and because you want to grow. You want to grow and change. That's why. Now, if that's not your motivation to read the Bible, then really, what good is it doing you? If you don't want to grow and you don't want to change and you don't love Christ, I mean, a lost person can do that. You know? So, these things here are not habits. They're not disciplines. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Spiritual growth must come from the... That's good, from the heart. But what I was thinking of is spiritual growth. What's the first part of the word spiritual? So where does spiritual growth really come from? comes from the Spirit. It cannot come through from your habits and your disciplines. Spiritual growth comes from the Spirit. It's got to come from the Holy Spirit working in and through you. See? All right. Enough of that. Let's go back to Galatians 5, 22. Let's look at the fruit. Ready? Fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Oh, isn't that good for Valentine's Day? That worked out great, didn't it? Hey, in your handout it says, this is listed first because all the other fruit flows forth from the fruit of love. You say, well, how do you know that? Look at Colossians chapter 3. Yeah, I should have had you keep your finger there. Look at Colossians 3 and verse 14. All the other fruit flow forth from this fruit of love. Look at Colossians 3, verse 14. Colossians 3, 14. And above all these things, put on charity. That just means love. Put on charity. Put on love. Notice, which is the bond of perfectness. That means maturity. So, he says, above everything else, put on love. Why? Because it's the bond. Everything else is going to flow out of that. Look at Galatians 5. Go back there. Let's go back to our text. And remember Galatians 5:14? Look up there. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt what? Love. You love your neighbor as yourself. All the law is fulfilled in that. Look at this. Let's see. Look in your handout. I think I've got. Do I have 1 Corinthians there? Okay. Look at that with me. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is what? Charity. Now, in your handout, important statement. We are able to love because God has lavishly bestowed His love upon us. I want you to take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 5, if you would, please. Romans chapter 5. We are able to love because God has lavishly bestowed His love upon us. Look with me at Romans 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is, and I love this, shed abroad. You know what that means? I looked it up. It means to pour forth, to gush. He says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's shed abroad. It's gushing. It's been poured out. It's been gushed into you by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Go over there with me. Right after Galatians is the book of Ephesians. And let's go to Ephesians 2:4. Now notice again this love that's been given to us. That's what I want you to look at. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His... Notice the next two words. What kind of love? Great love. For His great love. Great love. Wherewith He loved us. Chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Whew. Can you believe God loves you that much? That ye... Now, but look what he says, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, that love ought to do something in you. That love ought to do something in you. Look with me in Ephesians 4:2. Notice how this love works itself out. Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing, putting up with one another in love. There's that love. See? Coming out to others. Chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love. How can I do that? As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Look in your handout. I've got a couple verses in your handout. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you. that ye also love one another. Our love, see, is an outworking of His love for us. Look at 1 John 4:10 and 11 in your handout. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, look at this. This is the kicker. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Man, that's good. You know what the idea here is? And by the way, 2 Timothy 1:7 says we've been given the spirit of love. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, brethren, you're taught of God to love one another. Now, here's the idea of this, of the fruit of love. The idea of this is that now that I know love, now that I truly know love, God's love, now that I know love, I can give love. When a person says, I can't love him, I can't love her, you know what they're in essence saying? What they're saying is, I don't know God, I've never experienced God's love, and I do not possess God's Spirit. In other words, for me to be able to honestly say, I can't love, that would mean that I don't know God, I've never experienced God's love, and I do not possess God's Holy Spirit. If you do have these things, if you have known the love of God, and if you do have the Holy Spirit, then you can love anybody because it's your choice. It's your fruit to bear, right? The fruit of the Spirit is, it's your fruit to bear. Nobody can pluck that fruit from you. In order for somebody to pluck the fruit of love from you where you couldn't love, they'd have to be able to pluck the Holy Spirit from you. Isn't that a good thought? In order for them to be able to pluck the fruit of love from you so that you could not love, they'd have to be able to pluck the Holy Spirit from you. The Holy Spirit has shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. And Jesus said, as I have loved you, you love one another. And in your handout it says, just as fruit grows, we can grow and mature in the fruit of love. Have you look up one other passage, and I think we're going to stop here, and we're going to we'll get through several fruits next week now that we've got our introduction done. But go to 1 Thessalonians, and this will be the last passage we'll look at tonight. 1 Thessalonians 3. And here's what I want to show you, that just as fruit grows, okay, you can grow and you can mature in the fruit of love. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love. Did you see that? You can increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all men, not just Christians, even as we do toward you. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. Well, let's go up to verse 9. I quoted this one earlier. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, look at this, that you increase more and more. He says, I know you're loving, but I want you to increase. I want you to grow in your love. I want that love to mature. I want it to grow. Just as fruit grows. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. It's growing. The more we grow, now I want you to get this and we're done. The more you grow in Christ, and the more that His truth, and that's why it is so important to be here and to be fed and to be in the Word every day yourself, because the more you grow and the more that God's truth gets inside of you, then the more capacity you have to love. I was thinking about Denise when I was writing this, and we've been married 20 years in August. My love for Denise has grown through the years. But now, wait a minute. my love growing for her really doesn't have anything to do with her. It doesn't have anything to do with because she does what I want her to do and goes where I want her to go and does everything I tell her to do, and has nothing to do with that. Okay? See, we want to change other people instead of letting the Lord change us. That's just the way we are. But it's not right, and we need to understand that you're asking for frustration. There's only one person that you can control. Do you know who that is? You. You might as well get that through your mind right now. You are not going to control her, Buster. And you are not going to control him, ma'am. You can nag all you want. You're not going to control him. There is only one person you can control, and that's you. Okay? And my love for Denise has grown, but it hasn't been because of her actions have been just what I want. Okay? That and she's a wonderful wife and all that, but that's not why my love has grown for her. You want to know why my love for my wife has grown? Because I've grown spiritually over the last 20 years. And I've grown spiritually, and see, my love has grown. And as I've grown in Christ, my capacity to love has grown. See? And so as my capacity to love has grown, as I've grown in the Lord, then that love, see, can flow towards her. But it has to do with me. It has to do with me growing. If I quit growing spiritually, no matter how great a wife she strives to be, if I quit growing spiritually, say for the next 5 years, my capacity to love her in 5 years will not be any more. I can't love her any more than I do right now. Regardless of her actions, I can't love her any more than right now if I don't grow any for the next 5 years. I have to grow in Christ. I have to be growing and changing. I've got to be spiritually progressing and growing. And as I grow, I can love her unconditionally with the love of Christ. Why? Because I'm growing in that love. And as I'm growing in that love, I'm filled with the fullness of God, and I can show forth that fullness and that love to her and to others. Does that make sense? You understand where that's coming from? That it's all about you, really. It's all about you. It's about you growing in Christ. And as you grow, because some people get frustrated. They're like, man, you know, I love that person so much more than I've ever loved them, but they don't love me. They don't seem to be growing in their love at all for me. Probably what it is maybe you're growing in Christ. You've been progressing in your walk with Christ. You're growing, and so your capacity to love is so much greater. They're not growing. See? That's the problem. It's, are you growing in Christ? That's the key. So next week we're going to get into joy. We're going to get into peace, long-suffering. We're going to get into these things. And this is what God wants to do in your life, in your home. This is what the Lord wants to do in you. And so this is part of your inheritance that you have in Christ when you received His Spirit. We'll get into that next week. Father, we